Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. And Jim, I believe it was just yesterday that we were noting that Republicans might have a good pickup opportunity in North Dakota in the 2012 Senate races because Ken Conrad is retiring. Just a day later, apparently Joe Lieberman can't stand the idea of being in the U.S. Senate without Ken Conrad, so he's decided to leave as well. Others say it's because he would have had another very tough re-election campaign, considering that most in the liberal Democratic base still hate him, and Republicans might actually run a credible candidate against him this time. Lieberman, to me, I guess, is kind of a guy who you applaud sometimes and you cringe sometimes. He clearly was great on the Iraq War, and much to his political detriment. Other times, it looks like he single-handedly kept Bill Clinton in office with his shame on you, yet this is not removal from office level of misdoing here. And then his opposition to the public option was great, but he also kind of greased the skids for what we got. So very mixed bag, and not sure we'll do any better given the political climate in Connecticut. But it's still an opportunity in an open seat in a state where we almost won a governor's race last year.
Indeed, and I guess you could say this is a good martini with a funny aftertaste. Right. Wondering if the strange combination of ingredients to Senator Lieberman and to this martini as well. You know, I mean, this is a guy who had his career inadvertently launched by William F. Buckley of National Review in a utter disgust and frustration with the incumbent Republican Lowell Weicker. Joe Lieberman, I characterized him in the morning jolt this morning as somebody, you know, he's like a party guest who you had a good time with, but you're happy to see him leave.
Right.
He's been around for a very long time, a very wild up and down career. You mentioned his role in impeachment. Obviously, he was the running mate for Al Gore.
Sure.
And obviously, if John McCain's had his first wish, he really wanted to make Lieberman his running mate in 2008, which would have been a bizarre scenario of being the running mate in two separate tickets in two different parties within a span of 8 years, which I think tells you a lot about right. How Lieberman came to be seen by other Democrats. In the end, look, is there a shot for Republicans to win this state? Yes, it's going to be obviously a very tough set of circumstances. What I find encouraging about this is that in the span of just a couple of days, we've seen Kay Bailey Hutchinson, Kent Conrad, and Joe Lieberman, three, you know, really longtime veteran incumbents. And my guess is they won't be the last. I think there's probably a good six or seven others who are on that bubble. And if there seems to be this trend of everybody heading towards the doors, that it's time to call it, you know, call it a career, that will probably be good for Republicans in a lot of these races because a lot of them are in friendly territory like Texas and North Dakota. And even in this one, in Connecticut, there's an outside chance that you're going to make the DSCC spend some money to defend that seat. So, you know, a three-way race would have been easier for a Republican to win, but I think Joe Lieberman has very much earned his right to enjoy a quiet retirement.
Yeah, it sounds good to me. And it'd been interesting if he had run with McCain, whether it'd be known as the first person to run as a running mate in two different parties or the first to lose as a running mate in two different parties, because I'm pretty sure
Quite possible, or would have been the shortest-lived running mate, as the floor fight of the convention would have forced him from it. You know, I remember at the time hearing this rumor and thinking, it's asking a lot of Republican voters to pick a guy who was a Democrat and is for a lot of, you know, for all extents and purposes, mostly a Democrat, a hawkish Democrat, but a Democrat, a heartbeat away from the presidency for a 72-year-old presidential candidate.
Exactly.
That was asking a lot of Republican voters, and I think they wouldn't have accepted it. But just think, you know, one of the things I was thinking yesterday is if McCain had had his way, we, you know, you and I might have heard of Sarah Palin, but most Americans wouldn't have, and she'd just be this rising star governor up in Alaska doing her thing.
That's true. She probably wouldn't be complicit in murder, but she would.
She might have a much easier, happier life under these circumstances. But you know, just these little twists of fate and how things change from that point.
Exactly. Well, from a good martini with an interesting aftertaste to a bad martini with an unusual twist as well. Oregon Democratic Congressman David Wu. Oregon, for the most part, is a liberal state. I believe there's at least one Republican in there, but for the most part, a left-leaning state. And Wu had a tougher-than-usual re-election campaign. And according to a story out of the Oregonian in Portland, basically completely went off the rails in the later stages of his campaign, giving angry speeches, not campaigning the final weekend, trying to use his status as a congressman to work around TSA rules at airports in order to campaign. And now his staff is exiting en masse. Not good if you're a constituent in Oregon, but I'm not sure how Republicans ought to view this, quite frankly, Jim.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's not likely he'll be facing the voters anytime before November 2012. And in a presidential year, a Democrat is going to have the advantage. But this isn't a bad martini so much as it's a disturbing and troubling martini because, you know, this Wu was already a cake. Every once in a while said the occasional odd statement. I remember talking about Klingons in the White House back in 2007. But, apparently almost all of his campaign staff has left, cut ties to him. He's had at least six congressional staffers leave. It sounds like he's just behaving very, very strangely among them. Greg, if you need to win re-election, do you often campaign to people getting off a plane at the international airport?
That's not usually where I start.
Does that seem like just an unusual choice to press the flesh and shake hands with people? These other things, I mean, you know, he gave an angry speech, and obviously we know that's a terrible crime these days. but the fact that other Democrats were complaining that he was just furious and gave the audience no reason to vote for him, not campaigning for 3 days before Election Day, is certainly a non-traditional choice. So, look, maybe this is just him not having his coffee in the morning and doing some odd things, or maybe this is a pattern that's much more troubling. Either way, hoping Congressman Wu gets perhaps some much-needed rest in the near future. Perhaps this job isn't for him if this is what it's driving him to.
Well, I hope so, because the last time we heard about staff this disgruntled and resigning en masse was Eric Massa about this time last year. So
that's a good point. In light of this, Wu is only moderately odd and bizarre by congressional standards. Good point. So exactly. Keeping perspective on all this.
Exactly. And, you know, onto the bizarre martini now, as if that wasn't sufficient enough. The Chicago mayoral race may be the next significant election. It's mainly significant because Rahm Emanuel is trying to be elected. And at this point, it looks like he's got a pretty good shot at it. And, of course, his old boss is Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton coming in to stump for him. And of all the things Bill Clinton could have said, instead he said this.
He was always fearlessly honest in meetings with me. He never shirked to say, sometimes in extremely colorful language, when he thought I was wrong.
So there's the president. If you're going to bring in anyone to vouch for your integrity, your ability to honor your promises and do exactly what you said you would, is Bill Clinton the guy to come in and give that message?
Great news, Chicago voters. If you want a mayor who will tell you you're wrong, Rahm Emanuel is your guy. I kept waiting for him to, for Clinton to really put his defense in truly classic terms. You know, Greg, I want you to listen to me. I did not have deceptional relations with that man. Strange to bring in Bill Clinton and have him play the character card in Chicago politics, no less. My understanding is the polling has this pretty much a done deal. Rahm will not just have Clinton backing him, but he will have obviously Barack Obama backing him. It doesn't seem like any of the other contenders have gotten any real traction. Chicago has Democratic elections, capital D, but just doesn't have Democratic elections, small d. It looks like it's a done deal, but yeah, kind of strange that, you know, the I guess when you're trying to sell yourself to a political machine city, you bring out the big bosses and they all give you the thumbs up and that's all it takes.
Yeah, and no fingers in the chest in the shower apparently necessary to pull this off. Not to bring Eric Massa
on your mind today, Greg, huh?
Apparently so. Apparently the only thing everyone seems to know about this guy is that he's boorish and likes to swear a lot. So that, apparently that's basically what's needed to win this election.
It is Chicago, Greg.
Well, let's hope the good news out of Chicago is the Bears in the Super Bowl rather than anything related to Rahm Emanuel in the next few days here. We'll find out. But as we said, it looks like he's pretty much got this locked up. Jim, in the meantime, we will talk on Thursday. See you then.
See ya.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Join us on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.